Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan. And to my other side is producer Mike. Hey, man, you moved.
Hey, J.L. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Yeah, we moved the studio around a little bit, so we got a new shot for you. As you can, I'll flip it back so you can. Oh, look at that.
It's you know, I may be a hard man.
Yeah.
But I speak the truth, whether it be good or bad. And mm-hmm. I think this is a tremendous look.
Yeah. I like it a lot, too. I think we finally got the sign up, which is nice. We were always told we couldn't drill into a concrete wall, mostly because I hired a task rabbit who I think showed up very high and just couldn't do it. And then a man showed up today with a drill bit, and now we have a curtain, and we have the sign up and a new look for Rain on Your Parade.
Was the task rabbit a woman?
No.
Okay, because you said a man showed up, so I thought you were implying
a real fucking man.
Okay, just hairy arms,
a Puerto Rican guy,
a MAGA hat. Friggin', let's do this. Very cool. Well, I love it. I'm annoyed. You know, in keeping with my new top every week, I wore a Fila sweatshirt, but mm-hmm. I actually wish I hadn't because I wish there was more. I want all the focus to be on Slickback Studios. I feel like it distracts a little. It's like I've got the Jazz logo, which is subtle, but then yeah. Fila is giving the viewers, and I know my fans hate to read. Trust me, my book review view numbers prove that. But I feel like I'm giving them too much to read today.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, sorry about that. We'll be back to your regularly scheduled illiteracy next week. But a few things. Obviously, usually I tell a story. I get a big bottle of water from Trader Joe's every time I come to the show. So, you know, there's often a Trader Joe's story when I walk in.
More big doings at Trader Joe's.
Well, this petite Asian woman was texting, as every human being alive does. And she started to aimlessly drift into the entrance of Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. Now, on some days, I might make a point and just be like, excuse me. But I said, I'll let her go. I don't need to run this Asian woman over like I'm the tank in Tiananmen Square.
You are psychotic.
Yeah. So I let her go. And she looked up and was like startled. And I said, I gave her the, no, go ahead. I'm not going to scold you for having no manners today. I'm just going to let you, you know, do you think I got to thank you?
Based on the fact that this is a story?
Exactly. No, of course not. Of course not. So the more truth we tell. Speaking of which, Al Pacino at the Oscars.
Not looking great.
De Niro is lapping him right now.
Yeah.
De Niro is aging great. He's not nearly what he was 40, 50 years ago, but who is? But he is aging well, given that he's 80.
Yeah.
You know, Pacino is messy.
Yeah.
Shuffled out there in his like orthopedic sneakers. I was like,
I think Pacino partied harder than De Niro did. I really do. I think that's why Pacino disappeared for a few years there, because I think there was some maybe potentially, I'm purely speculating, but substance stuff maybe.
Oh,
late 80s.
Oh, okay. And also I think I always laugh. His woman's name is Noor Al-Fala. Mm. Which I said, that sounds like something he would have yelled in Scent of the Woman. And I think she also kind of resembles the woman who was fucking Donald Sterling. So is that what happens when you get really old? You go for like sort of a like Thai hooker kind of look?
Yeah, like Tia Carrera.
Oh, man.
Right?
She was great.
It's that look, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. She was great.
Very hot.
Also, I mean, that makes me think, obviously, you might think Wayne's World. I think True Lies. You ever see True Lies?
Yeah, of course I've seen True Lies. But there's also another one. No, I think there's one she did where she was like a high school teacher who like fucks the student.
Oh, cool.
That and she, I think she shows her boobies in that one, which I remember being a
core memory. Go to the YouTube and comment with the title of that film immediately, fans.
I'm going to look it up while I keep talking.
No, don't. I'm trying to.
We're driving engagement.
I'm driving engagement.
Okay,
man.
Somebody please find Tia Carrera's
tits. Hey, 300 of you, if you find it, please comment and share and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. So, no, of course, she didn't say thank you. So that was, it felt bad, but also good. Mm. I was like, okay, it's a Wednesday. I'm getting ready for the podcast. Thank you. Just getting, that's my bulletin board material. Right. Michael Jordan would be like, who said I can't win another championship? JL goes, who showed me not proper manners? Let's go. Let's podcast. And True Lies, just one note, Jamie Lee Curtis, the only true goat of the frumpy to smoking hot in a movie.
Mm.
That was so much more than the, oh, we put her in glasses and a baggy sweatshirt. No, like you believed that she was a boring unattractive turd in the beginning of that movie. And then all of a sudden she's like on fire.
Yeah.
Incredible. Good work, Jamie Lee Curtis. I saw a play last night. I saw Brooklyn Laundry.
Oh boy.
With my soulmate, Cecily Strong. You say soulmate. I say, I don't know, tall, beige, racially ambiguous smoke show with impression skills.
The female JL.
Yeah, basically. Seems much happier. But saw it at the Manhattan Theater Center, and it was very nice. And I'm forgetting the guy who starred in it with her, but I remember him from Dexter. He was very good. They were both very good. I thought it was a good play. I wouldn't say it was great, but it was good. I enjoyed it. Except for, of course, one audience member.
Uh-oh.
It always has to happen.
Is it the same show every week?
Well, I know.
Just one guy in the audience at the play.
Well, no, at MJ, it was one audience. Yeah, right. That was the problem. You can group them singularly, but it was kind of like World War Z, where it was like, hey, these 380 incredibly rude people are forming one rude organism. But there was just one person in the whole show. It was very quiet. No cell phones went off. I want you to guess where this one person who was making a lot of noise sat.
Oh, boy. Well, it could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
Knowing your temper. But I'm going to guess, was it next to you?
Right next to me. And what's funny is that he was sitting two seats away from me. There was a seat in between for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He had a bad sight angle because he was a short fella. So he moved to the seat next to me, thus limiting some of my needed room for my largesse.
Yeah.
So what he did, what Billy Porter kept doing during the show was, for the whole 85 minutes of the show. I stopped counting after 60. And then of course the guy, he had to bring out his phone, which was not dimmed towards the end, probably just checking the time. But I was like, could you check the time quicker than 20 seconds of extreme brightness right in my face, sir?
It's just a checklist of all the things that pissed
And he also laughed. I described him on social media. He laughed like a gay black Max Cady from Cape Fear. If you remember De Niro, speak of the devil in the theater. That was what it was like. So anyway,
iconic.
Yeah, that was, and just De Niro, you know, you got to have confidence. He was one of those guys. He didn't get Marvel jacked. He would just be like, I get jacked for a few months and I'll just, I don't care.
No, he got like the awesome kind of jacked.
Yeah.
Which was just like this
Fight
guy's,
Club. He was like Fight Club jacked for Cape Fear.
0% body fat. Just looked like he was just working out on books, just like doing dips. And
right.
And, yeah.
But isn't that weird? Because you don't think, but he has done it before, Raging Bull.
Yeah.
But it's weird about De Niro where you're just like, but does he go to the weight room? Like,
he doesn't feel
like a guy who goes to the weight room.
I think he's just like a vegetarian who just like, he probably runs a little bit and just does, like, well, not now, but like in his at his peak, probably just did like a 1,000 push-ups a day.
Tai Bo.
Like, yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah, Tai Bo.
So the play was pretty good. Excuse me. I'm dealing with a little bit of a cold here. But it was just, I love that you bring up the Groundhog Day kind of redundancy of my life.
It seems to be a lot of the same complaints every week when we start the show. I'm like, at a play, complaints at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Well, the good news is by the time I'm back here, I'll have complaints about a Bruce Springsteen concert.
You will not. You're not going to.
So yeah, that's obviously everybody's going to be very eager for the episode after this one.
Yeah, highly anticipated.
So I think that's just going to be, I think we can already call it. That's next week is the Springsteen episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, get ready. And then they just stop watching this one. They're like, well, that's why I'm here. I'm not here for this shit. Now, Mike, before we get to the main topic today, which is just to put it bluntly and algorithmically enticing, old people.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to call it old people.
Great.
It's going to be more nuanced than that, but I feel like that's a good eye-catching title. Like, JL's shitting on old people. Right. What? Is this a self-hate episode?
Yeah.
Kinda. But aren't they all? But banning TikTok. Now, I don't know where the law will go from where we are right now. By the time this goes up, it may, you know, it's a slow process through the U.S. Senate. But the House has passed, as of this recording, the House has passed it. Joe Biden has said he'll sign it.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
quite conflicted. It's so interesting that you bring this up, because I think I would ask you, is it legal that they do this? Because I thought that at least part of this company was owned by America, like an American company. Or maybe I'm wrong about that, but I would imagine it's a First Amendment violation. Would it not be?
From what I gather, I guess the law, obviously it could be challenged in court, and I'm guessing TikTok has some pretty high priced lawyers.
That would be my guess.
But I think the whole thing is that they're saying they have to sell it because of, you know,
or ban it. So that
or ban
but it. If they refuse to sell it, that
Victor
means-
or ban it.
Huh?
Viktor Orban, Hungary's president. Trump is a big fan of him. He's an authoritarian in Europe.
Got it.
Anyway.
I would say outside of that, not knowing whether the legality is, you know, above board. I would not mind seeing TikTok go if it was.
Yeah, I think it will be like Black Monday, but for influencers, it'll be like ring lights and wafy douchebags were falling from their apartment buildings en masse.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that really, I don't mean to be cold, but like if all of a sudden there was like a 38% reduction in influencers.
No, I agree, man. And I think it's just like a million conversations we've had on this show, just the way people kind of consume content. I find myself and like all the stuff that we do out of the studio, a lot of it is kind of, we have TikTok on our mind when we make it, and it bums me out.
Right.
Because I know that it just goes into the garbage, basically. People see it and it's like, we'll have a clip on a show, get, you know, 1.2 million views or something, go super viral, and we'll see none of it come back to.
Right.
It's like, it's this illusion that we need it to promote everything, but it doesn't actually help us.
Right. You
know? So it's like, what's really the point?
I once tweeted at Ben Stiller, who follows me. It wasn't just random, but he didn't reply. But I love The Cable Guy, which he directed. And I just wrote to him, could you do a Cable Guy sequel, but it's like The Internet Guy?
Right.
Like bring back Chip, like maybe he's the good guy now.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, you guys have to get off the internet.
Yeah.
You guys are sleeping the TikTok. Like, and I don't know who you cast as the young
Chalamet. Jim Carrey versus Chalamet? That'd be great.
But you think Chalamet could pull off? I don't think he has the he's a good actor, but I don't think he has the chops.
Hold on. He doesn't need to be the. You have Jim Carrey.
No. What I'm saying is Jim Carrey is still him, but Jim Carrey comes back as like the guy who's going to warn. Like he's in the good guy role.
Yeah.
So who's the. Or you think. He's still the Cable Guy character, but like it's a tech bro that he's going up against. I want it to be like an obsessed influencer all the time guy.
I think Chalamet doesn't have to be funny in the part because I think he has to be more of the straight man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to put those two on screen together.
Well, you put them on screen. You're the one who wedged Timothy Chalamet in here, not me.
That's a good point. Fair. Fine.
But unfortunately, this is my choice. Bo Burnham, obviously, and Jim Carrey.
I know you have a major hard on.
You know what? I like talent, and I like, you know, he is a bright light in a dark tunnel of garbage.
Yeah, sure.
But I just thought that would be an interesting thing because Cable Guy's aged so well.
Yeah.
And
bringing
that back in sort of a let's like. The internet is way worse and mobile phones are way like the problem is exponentially worse. Chip Douglas was the outlier in The Cable Guy. Now we're all that. And he would maybe be able to see that and go, that's not what we want to do. And I could see Bo Burnham being both like Bo Burnham is a guy who came up as a social media YouTube star.
Sure.
And I think he has a lot of critiques about it. Like his first song on Inside is called Content. And it's this like earnest, like goobery, shitty song about like, I gave you some content.
Yeah.
And I can tell he may be the only person on earth who has more contempt for the word content than me.
Yeah.
So that's an idea. Ben, Bo, Let's get in a room. Slickback Studios is available. Let's hammer out the details.
I would welcome this, believe it or not.
Well, then edit out that part where you were dismissing my hard-on for Bo Burnham, okay?
I like Bo Burnham. I'm just saying, you know, I know there's a very, it's a very specific love that you have.
Yeah, greatness. Yeah. I love greatness. Sorry. but banning TikTok, I think, would be just sort of the final insult to me. Where it's like TikTok emerged just in time to smother my moment. And then once my career is like flaming embers dying out, it's like, oh, actually TikTok is gone now.
Yeah, you finally got
It just showed up like Maximus in Gladiator. It will hand over power once I'm vanquished.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, with all those old references to 90s and 2000 movies, why don't we take a quick break and then talk about old people. Then we're back. Mike, how was that break in your new location?
Fantastic. I also wanted to make one correction from earlier in the show. The movie that I'm talking about, My Teacher's Wife.
Oh, cool. So everybody, no need to comment and boost engagement on YouTube.
No, Mike, still, you can comment.
Mike just gave you the information.
Have you guys seen The Teacher's Wife? Do you remember the scenes that I'm talking about? It was 1995, which means by the time it got to me.
It's a year after True Lies. It's nice. Yeah,
it is the year after. She had a good run here.
That's peak Carrera.
Yeah, really.
Now 92,
94, 95, Wayne's World, True Lies, My Teacher's Wife.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, very not good that one. Movie's good, but anyway.
Well, I'm going to see about it. And then I'm going to probably, you know, I feel like it's a good appetizer to whatever porn Sydney Sweeney is putting out next. So that's sort of a pairing,
yeah.
I think. So anyway, before we get to the main topic today, obviously, folks, I have shows coming up. I'm in Syracuse, New York, April 25th. At the Funny Bone. So please get your tickets to that or tell your grandson or your grandmother that I'm in her town when I do those shows. But that's April 25th. Then June 28th and 29th, DC at the DC Comedy Loft. And then September 13th and 14th, Laugh Camp in St. Paul, Minnesota. So more shows getting added, but those are the ones to highlight. And obviously you can check out everything I do, including my weekly blog, my other podcast, and my new special, all at jlcomedy.com. Now, I've crunched the numbers, Mike. You know this.
Yes.
I've shared those numbers with you. And according to YouTube, my average viewer has been dead for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's the average.
It's a concern of ours.
That's the average.
Right.
Obviously, we have younger than that.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have people in hospice.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably my median viewer listener is in hospice.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's important as a thought leader for people who are, some of whom are losing their thoughts.
Yes.
To discuss old people and specifically the sad state of elder care in America. Mm-hmm. Another major problem that I'm going to solve in, for me, 30 minutes, but for your pleasure, 20 minutes. I'm just kidding, 40 minutes. And the New York Times ran a series of articles. I apologize, but I'm sick.
Yeah, we're both going through it.
So not all of us can afford the Magic Johnson HIV medicine. So the New York Times a few months ago ran a series of articles, very big articles, on the elder care system in this country. And I know many people probably didn't read them all. I remember when the New York Times, they won a Pulitzer for their tax article on Trump. They did. It was like a year long investigation. It was one of the most brilliantly written pieces. Taxes are fucking boring.
Yes.
This thing was 11 pages in the New York Times, like 11 New York Times. It's a small book. It was an amazing piece of not only the journalism, but the writing, because I think they probably knew we better write something that is so brilliantly written if we're going to get people to. And they won a Pulitzer for it. And Trump got on stage and was like, "Did you see this boring article about me?" And I was just like, you know what? He knows this country. I'll give him that, because that's all he has to say. It's so boring. Tax is like, write something shoulda. And it was like, yeah, that's it. The country's like, yeah, yeah, boring, long tax article, blah, blah, blah. His family is generationally thieving the country. Incredible. And I just thought, that's our country. He knows us.
Yeah.
Ban TikTok. That'll help us back from the brink of no attention span. But they ran a series of articles on elder care, and it is scary. And I say this as, you know, I have an 80-year-old mother. I have somebody that I know whose mother is going through a horrible illness in her, you know, later years, but not particularly old, not nearly as old as my mom. My mom is fine. She's just aging, but you have to watch, you know, she's still feisty, but like, it just, you know, she's Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes.
Right. Right.
For many years, she was, you know, including against me, Ali versus Foreman. but now she's Ali versus Holmes. You know, I don't want to hear to be Ali at the Olympic torch.
Yeah.
But I see this, you know, my dad lived till he was 85. He was in the nursing home. And I remember all the hoops. My mom, thankfully, is sharp and feisty and was able to do all the things and had money to do all the things that you have to do about like separating your assets and then getting Medicare to cover the nursing home. Because if you don't, it's like $100,000 a year. Yeah. And just being somewhat exposed to that. And having probably a best case scenario, my dad, you know, died at 85 in a nursing home, but they were nice to him. He was, you know, my mom saw him every day. I visited him a couple times a week. It was kind of a best case scenario of a scenario that's just not good.
Yeah.
Like other than being able to afford, by the way, we're not, even though I have a lot of wealthy fans, they don't, I mean, you wouldn't know it from special sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not talking to that percentage. That's like, we had six nurses and four orderlies in the West Wing of our estate care that congratulations. Great. Not talking to you, but for the, you know, even for a well-off family, and I say well-off comfortable by American standards, my mom did very well. It was like tight and tough and took a lot of logistics. There's like so many steps. There's the logistical steps, which take a brain and knowing who to go to and knowing, and there's also the financial commitments. And then obviously the emotional commitments in many ways is the biggest. But some of these articles in the Times were about how we don't really have any elder care system. We don't. I shouldn't say really. We don't.
Yeah.
And they compared us to other countries. Japan, who is like sort of, you know, many Asian cultures are like, famous for you take care of the parents. And I remember talking to my therapist about this one time. Who, if it shows, I haven't seen her in almost a year. When I lost my job, I was like, I'll be back. And that's when I called you and was like, hey, you want to do a podcast? You want to help produce my podcast? But I had said to her, she was always saying things to me like, you know, you can't, you know, you're still worried about your mom, or you're trying to like, please, you know, from your youth, it's like about, please, you know, you have to put you. Worry about yourself. You have to take care of yourself. And sometimes I'd be like, I understand that's an important thing if it's crippling me. But then I also say, but certain cultures are like, no.
Yes.
Like they brought us into the world. They provided for us. We now pay it back. And I don't think there's anything morally or psychologically necessarily better or worse. You get what I'm saying? So sometimes I'm like, we don't do that. We, as a culture, we don't do that. And I have been thinking about this where they said like Japan, and I think I want to say the Netherlands, and they compared us to other countries. Obviously some countries are lacking, but they compared us to several major nations. It was like Japan spends 80 times per senior what America spends. And you know, the Netherlands, it's 77 times what America spends. And I go, why aren't we doing that? Like what it is. End of life, like we have to, the things we are not doing, climate change is another issue. And I wrote this yesterday on Threads, but I said, I get climate change and gun violence. To me, those are no brainers also. Mm-hmm. But I accept the fact that these are highly political issues. They have been politically charged. They shouldn't have been. They are. You have to deal with the problems as they are. Not like I wish it wasn't, so therefore I'll act like it isn't. No, those are extremely political topics. Elder care seems like this shouldn't be a political topic. Like I said, there are three topics that I care about that if I ran for office, elder care, that I'd like center my platform on. Things that I think you should be able to get people, or you can expose people who aren't down with them. Elder care, homelessness. Mm-hmm. That'd be the toughest one. because then you can blame a lot. You can't blame somebody for getting old.
Yeah.
But you sure can blame somebody for being homeless.
Yeah, for getting homeless.
Even if they're children.
Yes.
What were you doing with the, you know, the book that was often in the background here, Invisible Child, which won the Pulitzer a couple of years ago. Incredible book. I recommend it to everybody if you haven't watched my book reviews, which you haven't. And, but she talked about in either the foreword or the afterword why she chose to cover a homeless child. Because if she covered a homeless adult, well, what about when they quit that job? What about when they did drugs?
Right.
What about well, this is a 10-year-old child.
Right, right.
And conservatives, they will then just say nice things, not do anything, but at least you expose, like, well, can we help this homeless child?
Right.
Can we do things and programs to help the children who right. we all admit aren't responsible for their fate?
Right.
And getting old is sort of the same thing. And it seems like this should be a thing that we should crush. But it would entail, like so many things we have fucked up, observing the reality, which is we have a huge old population and we are not doing anything for them, basically.
Yeah.
And that will involve taxes. That will involve adjusting spending. And Republicans don't want to start and I don't see a lot of Democrats crowing about this.
I've never heard really any politician talk about this.
One guy, ever. the presidential candidate I donated the most money to ever, and he polled at 1%, Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State.
Who?
Phenomenal guy.
Yeah.
Three-term governor currently of Washington State. So he's a real dude.
Yeah.
And he started an elder care program in Washington, the first in the country. And it's not enough, but it's somebody starting it. And it was good, but it's just not enough given the cost.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, is another one of those things. Now I'm sticking up for my fellow old people because I may be 45, but I move and think and feel like an 85-year-old. And so I'm there. The same way hearing people misgender me for years is Miss Jean Louisie there? No, it's Jean-Louis. I'm a man.
Right.
I feel simpatico with the trans community, you know, misgendering is violence. Well, then a lot of violence has been done on me.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Jean, no. You should see how many medical assistants I've punched going, that was violence. I'm just returning violence.
Yeah. You just got him back.
Yeah. That's it. An eye for an eye. Right. Okay. I didn't start a fight. I completed one.
Right.
But he started one because he is a phenomenal sort of, he is so right on almost all the issues. He's phenomenal. He's a young, taller, more handsome Joe Biden with strong, progressive bona fides.
I thought you were going to say traps. Big traps.
Not big trap, but he's for a 70-something-year-old guy, he's a stately 6'3".
Sure.
But he was the first one. But this is one of those things that I look at because I like to come in here with problems that are deep and never will be solved.
Right. Of course.
And to me, elder care, and it's not selfish because I think that I won't live. And I hate saying that. And I hate the fact that I think like this. I got to get myself in shape, but I don't see myself living till I'm 90, which is a depressing thought, but it's also me just trying to be realistic. I hope I do. I hope I live to 100 and feel good. And I'm one of these old guys, like on whatever social media is when I'm 100, like, look at this guy doing 5 push-ups. He's like an old giant. I hope I'm that guy, but I could croak at 50. I could croak at 61. I don't like, so this is really about like people I care about, seeing the struggles of people I know with their parents, seeing I don't want to share like personal news that isn't like directly mine, but I see it a lot and it is daunting. And I see how much of a struggle it is for like people with education and money to navigate this. You know, it's the same thing. I think, my third thing I think I didn't say was my platform would be, and like massive funding for special needs people and their families.
Right.
Because having an autistic nephew, I've seen once again, I do this from the lens. The Republican lens is, well, my brother and sister-in-law did it. So why can't you?
Yeah.
Whereas my lens is like, good God, I see how hard it is for my brother and his wife with all their intelligence and assets to navigate and do the best they can in a challenging situation. What is the person who's on fucking food stamps who has an autistic daughter doing? Like, yeah. I think, like, what are they doing? You know, and yes, people can say in a pithy way, well, when you're broke, the system helps you and they give everything to the poor. And it's like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. And I've been rambling for, I mean, of course, but no, please. You had some points.
I can tell you, my sister doesn't get that much help from the government.
Right.
It's my parents really doing a lot of it. She gets a little bit of Social Security, but I don't think she wouldn't be able to survive on it.
Right.
You know, it's like a little, we can get her a little something here and there. It's not like survival money.
I don't mean to just say your sister should just get $5,000 a month from the government. Right.
No. But I
means tested and everything, but like
middle ground.
There is this like, and the reason I'm going with homeless, elder and special needs people is because it's sort of on that philosophy from the writer of Invisible Child. Well, let's take the things that we should be at the compassionate conservatives should be able to like be on, but the Mitt Romneys of the world should find common ground with me. To be fair, George W. Bush, Iraq War, not his finest moment.
Right.
But did a ton for AIDS.
Yeah.
I mean, to cure AIDS.
Right.
I mean, when you have the Iraq War, it sounds like, and he also gave a bunch of people AIDS. Jesus, he was a monster. No, he did a ton because I think that fit with his kind of, well, you know, poor people in Africa, like we need to get them free medicine.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of common ground that I think we should be able to maybe find. And I'm cynical enough to go, oh, we won't.
Yeah.
But like those three things, these are all things that affect us in one way or the other. Like homelessness, if you don't experience it, you're probably complaining about it.
Yeah.
I saw a guy on the train yesterday coming home from the play, and me and Laura, and I'm a more passionate person than Laura in terms of she's even keel. I'm very high and low. And I saw this guy, he had like kind of a gimpy arm. He had like a stain on his pants, which might have been urine, might have been just grease.
But
he was like on the train, and I just looked at him, and it was one of those things where I just said, what's that guy going to do tonight? Like, I'm going home. We're mad because we missed the earlier train.
Right.
That guy, I don't know. Does he have a home? Is he okay? Like, is he even mentally or physically okay? He looks, maybe he has a drug problem, but he just looked broken. And I just, it's times like that where I go, I am not a fucking like goofy theoretical progress. Like I feel like libertarians and like far left progressives often occupy like a theoretical space.
Yeah.
Not the real world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a real world person, but I get frustrated when I think of certain things. Like I'm saying here now, I think gun violence is a fucking tragedy and an embarrassment for this country. I think climate change, the fact that we're not all on board like it's World War II with this shit, is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to find things where I go, but how can we make people's lives better? And what can we do? And those three things are things that would, the big thing is it would require more taxes. And I think I raised this in an earlier episode of the show, and I forget what the topic was, but I just said, what if somebody said we can give everybody health insurance and cure homelessness? There will be no magic wand, but it require half of your disposable income after shelter, healthcare, whatever the necessity, half of it. So that's your vacations are now cut in half. Your Broadway shows are cut in half. That's half as many times to introduce the podcast with a shitty story from Broadway.
Right.
Would we do it? And I think this is what gets me and what we talk about so much. I don't know. I would like to say, of course. I mean, really, like if you could just even say to somebody like we can do this. Yeah. We in this room. Yes.
Or I was going to say out. If you ask people out of the street, the answer is no.
I know
for sure.
And it's
people don't give a fuck.
It's deeply upsetting because, and I'm going to lay off the smartphones and all that, but I feel like we started a certain way and we're in like an exponential growth of selfishness. Like it's not linear anymore. It's like everything is making us be more focused on ourself, our space, our own thing. And to me, when I see a homeless person, I just go, how? Not to them. Not how are you? But like, how are we not like flooding Penn Station with social workers and professionals and people who can like do something?
in New York City, I mean, it's a crisis in New York. I know there's other cities where it's a crisis too. And I don't think people think about it or care about it until they're afraid of a homeless person, frankly. Like, until you're on the train and some guy's spitting rice from his halal meal all over the people. Like, I don't think anybody has that type of actual, not nobody, but I just don't, I don't think it's something that people commonly think about, because they are, especially if they're not well off or anything, you're just going through your day-to-day life.
Right.
Got to go to work, got to commute and blah, blah, blah. Like, those people are, I don't think that they're bad people for saying it, but I don't think that they would trade any of their salary to cure homelessness. I think they'd be like, fuck it. I work hard. I don't want to not go to my Broadway show. You know, right. That's just how maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think you're wrong. And that's why in my strategy, elder care is the first place we go with this.
Yeah.
Because everybody, if you're lucky, everybody's going to get old.
Yeah.
And it is, that is the place I would want to start to build a better society. I know that sounds very hokey, but in other words, can we do, and I've talked to my sister-in-law and my brother said something very depressingly profound to me like a year ago. I forget why he brought it up, but he was borrowing something from the library or something. And he says, well, thank God we got like the interstate highway system and parks and libraries like in the past.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't do any of those things today. Like,
that's honestly probably true.
And think about how fundamental transportation, highways, think about how important those things are. Yeah. And that if we had to start from scratch, we'd be like, fuck off. Yeah. I have an awesome house and a bunch of horses. Fuck you. Get a horse. Get a horse and a bicycle. Why do I have to build roads that I don't need? I have my concubines and my family and my stable here. Yeah. Fuck off. Yeah. You know, when I take these, I'll be going cross country again on the train.
Yeah, boy.
Jersey to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh to Chicago, Chicago to LA, LA to Vegas, Vegas to Salt Lake, Salt Lake to Jersey. And I marvel at the scenery that I get to see on these trips. But I also marvel, like, on the trip from Denver to Salt Lake, which is the most beautiful stretch of anything I've ever seen with my own eyes. I mean, in person.
Yeah.
I can't help but while I'm watching going, wait, so like what, 80 years ago, 100 years ago, dudes just fucking climbed a mountain and dug tunnels and put down, oh my God. You know, going back to the Coco reference, I feel like I'm almost, people know me, but you know what? Sometimes it's okay to feel like spiritually uplifted or connected or something. I feel like I'm connect, like I'm honoring them almost by going like, wow, some of you fucking died in these tunnels. Some of you breathed in shit and probably died at 40.
Yeah.
Some of you, or 30 or 10 or 12 or whatever, but you built this fucking thing.
Dude, think about those old pictures you see of people that are like sitting on top of the beams. Building like the Empire State Building. It's insane.
But they were white, so we praise them. Now, if you see some Mexicans doing it, you're like, get out of my fucking country. That's what we are now. We don't even say, like, the guys building the country now, I'm a union labor guy, obviously, but like, they don't, they're all 12 white guys with lunch pails. They look like the world and America.
Yeah.
But we have this different connection now to so many things. And I just think, you know, when I go through that train ride, I'm just like, my God, your work, your scary, tough work, that would be frightening to fucking do today.
Yeah.
100 years ago, like, well, 10% of us die in that tunnel.
Right, right.
For what?
We got this new thing called dynamite. Blows up.
We're just helping society. Like, we're not even helping people like who are sick.
Yeah.
We're just helping advance society.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're helping to advance a society we'll never see.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is that? Where is that mindset? Because to me, starting with elder care, you take one step away from selfish. And I think the easiest thing for people to think is like, when I'm old, maybe not today with the TikTok, the silver foxes and the you know, the gilfs with fake tits. They're like, I'm a cat. I'm hot. Yeah, I fucking take testosterone. I'm Bobby Kennedy Jr. I do push-ups and have weird nipples from all the tea I'm taking. But most people can relate to being like, yeah, I've either seen a relative get older. I'm feeling a little older. And that's maybe just the one step from selfishness where you're doing something that you can relate to easily.
Yeah.
But it's a big step. And I think, you know, like I said, with the Asian cultures, I'm like, it's not a question. It's not a question. It's like, this is what you do.
Yeah.
And we should have that. We should have that concept, but we don't. So to me, it's like getting to that step. And I'm surprised that maybe Biden, just the way Obama couldn't talk about race too much. Maybe Biden's the wrong guy to talk.
Yeah.
Maybe Gavin Newsom gets in there. He's like, hey, everybody, I'm young and hot, but I care about old fucks. Yeah, yeah. One day I'm not going to wear a diaper. My shit will be hot when I'm 90, but some of you are disgusting and I want to help you with my handsomeness. Right? Like yeah. He's the guy who can, just like Biden can do more racially explicit stuff than Obama. We need like a young, hot president to be like, I'm here for the old people.
We need Matt Gaetz.
Oh, Matt Gaetz. Oh boy. Wait, 18 isn't old. And I will say this, and this is an old topic, but Matt Gaetz should have given the rebuttal to Biden's excellent State of the Union because the GOP, they love to be pieces of shit, except when they like for the pomp and circumstance, like we've picked a beautiful, young, talented, virtuous family woman, you know, and she sucked.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz, I'd respect it because he's sharp. He's TV ready.
Yeah.
And he's a true believer in the Trump shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you may hate him, understandably, like Republicans hate him almost just as much as Democrats, but put your Conor McGregor out there.
He does seem like a real piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But who the fuck are you, Republicans? You're garbage.
Yeah, right.
Pick your best.
Right.
At least he goes out there like fucking John Rocker throwing heat.
Yeah.
So go with it. I don't want to give them too many good strategies.
Yeah.
But my point is, I have no real solutions. Obviously, I haven't like dug into the weeds on the technical aspects, but to me, elder care, oh my God, it's a very expensive entitlement. Yeah. And let's do it.
Right.
Let's do it smartly, but let's do it. Because we have the money, we have the wealth. And it's very sad for people to go. You have people who have like, I spent my husband lived for 9 years in a nursing home. I've spent the $700,000 we saved up. Like, you're going to tell me that when we retired at 70 with like $1 million in the bank, we were irresponsible?
Yeah.
Very few people can even say that.
Right.
And it'll eat your shit up. And you have just enough money for it to get eaten up. Whereas if you were like, we have $0, it's like, it's on the house.
Yeah.
And I just think elder care is a place to start. It's a significant step, but it might be the easiest step for us to start changing the unbelievably, disgustingly selfish, shitty society we have crafted and continue to craft. And we'll be back with Comedy Talk next.
And now, we bring on somebody very special to the Rain on the Parade podcast to talk about whatever he likes. Un uomo che non sa né leggere né scrive, Vincenzo Agenzero, a.k.a. Vinny the Guinea.
So Scott Pelley can't be here this week. He's doing some stupid shit, 60 Minutes or something. Nobody ever even heard of that show. So I'm doing Punchdown of the Week for this fucking half a million, JT Chazay, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
So I did a video. You mind if I talk to you, Mikey?
No, Vinny, I love when you're here.
Mikey, you sure? I did a video. Yeah. I did a video because the Girl Scouts, they, you know, they're nice. We like the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
But they're selling these cookies. Caramel Delights. Remember what they used to be called?
Samoas?
Samoas. And I guess, you know, the island of Samoa was complaining, saying, it's not politically correct. It's not nice. You can't name your cookies cultural appropriation.
Right.
So I said, nah. So I did a strong video. Everybody loved it. Everybody was like, oh, Vinny, look at the fucking brajol on this guy. This guy's telling the truth. Somebody showed me I should run for town council. So then some Fanuc comments.
Yeah.
Some Italian, probably like, you know, like Tony Soprano, one the bread wop, one yeah. of these guys.
Yeah.
Not a Sicilian.
Yeah.
And he goes, this is Salvador Romero. Okay. It would have taken literally 5 seconds with Professor Google, who's not even a professor. I looked him up. For anyone in the comments to know better than this Einstein. So now what? I got no problem with the Jewish people, but now he's calling me Jewish?
Yeah.
I'm Italian. Yeah. That's an insult to my people.
It sure is.
But nobody cares about that, right? Like right. if I said something Jewish, oh, you can't say that. Very sensitive. But they say anti-Italian. They call me something else. No problem. No, that's okay. So that this Einstein, that Samoas still exist, and there are 2 bakeries that make Girl Scout cookies. Well, they got more than 2 bakeries. How are they going to sell? This is a fucking dummy.
Yeah.
How are they going to sell cookies all across the nation? 2 bakeries.
Right.
My Uncle Tony has a bakery. You think he can barely handle the name, but he's so popular.
Right.
You know, some of the divorced moms, like, you know, a little bit of his semolina bread in the back.
Yeah. Where is it? Where's the
Bayonne?
That's Bayonne. Got it.
So, it's called Big Cannoli Bakery.
Got it.
Extra cream. You know what I mean? That's the tagline. You know, rhymes.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
The blacks ain't the only ones that can rap. So he goes, and literally 5 seconds of tasting the delights to know better than this self-proclaimed cookie guy. He put cookie guy in quotes.
Right.
There's no quotes. I'm the fucking cookie guy.
Yeah. Because he thinks you're full of shit.
That they are a slightly but noticeably different recipe cooking. What kind of life does this guy have? This is a long comment. Anybody who is truly appalled by wokeness enough to care to take action would not have sought out Girl Scout fundraising to support in the first place. So now this guy is saying, I'm not hard enough because I'm buying from the girl. Now this guy's anti-girl. He's like, fuck the Girl Scouts. He's the good guy?
Yeah.
And would have been aware that this organization was one of the very first to start ramping up the extreme wokeness they were pushing long before it was fashionable. And he put fashionable in quotes. Is he calling me, is he calling me
a Fanuc?
A homosexual?
I don't know.
Because I might have to be seeing Salvador, you know, at some point.
There's no doubt he's testing your patience, though.
Elsewhere. Instead, he wanted to support them without ever caring about what those entrusted with and claiming to shape young girls' characters have long said were their values, and now generates his outrage shtick. Is that another Jewish thing?
Shtick?
Shtick.
Yeah, I think maybe.
This guy's anti-Sephardic.
What was that word?
Sephardic.
What's that?
You know, when you're not nice to the Jews?
He's anti-Sephardic. Anti-Sephardic, right.
But that's, you know, I fucking read too. Over this silliness that isn't even real. It's the whole anti-woke industry grift in a nutshell. With friends, and he put friends in quotes again, like these, who needs the left as enemies? Well, let me tell you something, you fuck. I support the Girl Scouts because they're nice kids in the community.
Right.
And I don't like the changing of the names. And we don't even know if this guy knows what the fuck he's talking about.
He probably doesn't.
I grew up with Samoas. Nobody had Caramel Delights. I don't even care if he's right. You couldn't find a Caramel Delight. Caramel Delight. Samoas. And I'll call them Samoas until the day I die. And if I see you in my fucking neighborhood, Salvador, It's on like Donkey Kong.
Wow.
So that's it. That's punched down. That guy took my video and made a fucking speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Vinny, I'm really glad you were able to drop by. And he's just walking out without saying anything. JL. You missed Vinny the Guinea. Did you see him on the way out?
Was that him?
Yeah, when you went to take a piss.
A lot of cologne on that guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's it's like he's just walking through the Macy's cologne section. He's got to get all of them, you know. He was upset because some guy was being a real Tony Pepperoni on his, you know.
Oh,
you know how it goes.
Well, no, and I'm actually glad because me and Vinny probably wouldn't like get along. I mean, I could find him entertaining. He might, but like, I don't know if we would mesh.
But I think maybe we could bond over like people making dumb comments on our respective videos.
It's always common ground.
Hopefully. Well, now that Vinny's made his Punchdown of the Week debut, hopefully we have Scott Pelley back. I think
palate cleanser.
He might be coming to the Bruce Springsteen concert.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
So I want to talk. I got a special to review. And last week I referenced Donnell Rawlings' 40-minute special on Netflix and saying I loved it. I just found it. Sometimes you just want to watch something that's just fun and not hacky, not brain surgery, but like energy, witty, entertaining.
Right.
Well, another one like that, although more witty, Dan Soder. Watch Dan Soder's new one. On the Road. It's a 40-minute YouTube special. So anybody can, you know, if you don't have Netflix, it's YouTube. So you can get it there. For like the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay. Because I remember he had a special on HBO, which I liked. But, and I know Dan, and Dan has been very nice to me, and he helped me out with a club. Just being frank, I thought it was good. I think he's a very good comic. So his special on HBO, I was like, oh, it was good. But I wasn't like, oh, fuck. The same way I like Shane Gillis's first special that everybody raved about, I was like, that was fine. Mm. But then his Netflix, his second one, I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about this one. I really, after about 5 minutes where I was like, is he just going to kind of be like fun guy, funny on stage? Like, but after the first 5 minutes, I thought it was really funny. And that's not to say the first 5 minutes is bad. I'm just saying it was kind of like setting me, like the tone was kind of like, is this just going to be kind of fun? And like, if you like Dan Soder, you're just going to enjoy this. No, if you've never heard of Dan Soder, On the Road on YouTube, his new special, I thought it was really funny. And for the, you know, the attention span hurting people, you know, if you don't want to watch the 112-minute the 1 hour and 12-minute masterpiece that is half blackface, these 40-minute specials might be your bag.
Yeah.
And that's back-to-back ones that I have genuinely really enjoyed. And I thought On the Road was, you know, really funny. Mm-hmm. I was very, I don't want to say impressed, but I was just like, oh, I feel like I'm seeing like the best of Dan Soder instead of just like Dan Soder on an average night is a real funny guy.
Yeah.
I felt like this was like, oh, I'm watching like, this is really good. This is good. This is really good Dan Soder.
Yeah.
So highly recommend it. See, more positivity. So thank you for listening to this. If you enjoyed the episode or the other episodes, be sure you give us a nice review on Spotify or Apple. Comment, share your thoughts on the YouTube page for the episode.
Please.
And share it with a friend. If you have a friend who, even if you don't think they'd like every episode, if you hear an episode that you think they'd be into, share the video or share the audio or both. But, you know, we appreciate it. We think we're doing, I know Mike is doing good work here. I think most of the time I do good work. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this one. And I will see you next Thursday. 2, 3, 4.